Today we want to talk about making disciples. In the passage that was just read, we have the very famous Great Commission. Go and make disciples. It's interesting to me, I hadn't ever noticed before, but the word disciple is not in that verse. It's not the noun. There's a verb, and if I remember correctly, it's the only time in the New Testament that that verb is there. It's the verb, make disciples is only one word in the Greek. So I want to focus in on this idea of disciples, Christ-like disciples. I've heard people too much lately talking about my disciple. My disciple, what is that? My disciple. Shouldn't we be Christ's disciples? And I went immediately in my mind when I'm thinking about this to that verse. Make disciples. Now, it's possible that that could mean that we should make disciples of ourselves. Jesus made disciples, and so we should go and make Darren's disciples, and Dr. Cunningham should make Dr. Cunningham's disciples, and April should make April's disciples. Is that what Jesus is saying in that verse? I don't think so, as we'll see as we go forward. But also we talk a lot these days about Christ-like disciples. My local church here has a mission statement, and in that is the phrase, making Christ-like disciples. Similarly, the motto for the Church of the Nazarene is to make, what is it? To make Christ-like disciples in the nations. I did a Google search on Christ-like disciples, and of course, you know how Google is, in just a few seconds, comes up, in this case, about 16,700 hits on Christ-like disciples. So clearly, Christ-like disciples is very popular these days. But I want to suggest today that maybe, just maybe, Christ-like disciples isn't quite the right term for what we should be doing. Maybe we want Christ disciples. Now that doesn't have quite the grammatical ring to it as Christ-like disciples does, but we're not supposed to be only like Christ, but we're supposed to be disciples of Christ. Christ's disciples. Let's become Christ's disciples. Or maybe we could use identical. Christ-identical disciples. You remember the old controversy, the iota controversy, whether similar or identical essence was there. These things matter. Should we be Christ-like? Yeah, of course we should be Christ-like. And there's things that Christ did for us that we cannot do. But our aim should be to become identical to Christ, more and more like Christ every day. To help us think about this, we want to practice. I've got a little exercise to help you think about this. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a series of tones. The first set of tones are just for practice, okay? So I'm going to play a first tone. You listen very carefully. And then I'll play the second tone, and hopefully I've practiced this, but we might have to tweak the audio a little bit, but we'll try. I'll play the first tone, you listen, then I'll play the second tone. If the tone is higher the second time, you go like this, okay? If the tone is lower the second time, you go like this. And if the tone is the same, go like this. Got it? If the second tone is higher, go this way. If the second tone is lower, go this way. If the second tone is the same, go like this. Okay, so let's try. We'll see if we've got it. Okay, got the first tone? Here comes the second tone. And now here's the third tone, or shall I say the first tone? Okay, and now here comes the second tone. Tell me if it's higher, lower, or same. Final practice. Here's the tone. Okay, now everybody's holding their ears. And now here's the comparative tone. Same, but this time I'm not going to repeat the first tone each time. You just compare, okay? So here comes, this is no more practice, this one's for real, are you ready? Here's the first tone. Okay, got it clear in your head, now I'm going to do the second tone. Here comes tone number two, you tell me if it's higher, lower, or same. Okay, now here comes another one. Is this one higher than or lower than the one you just heard? Ready? I have one higher. Okay, now compare this one. Do we have any people out there with perfect pitch? I don't know. Now compare that one to this one. Next one. I think it's getting harder, isn't it? There's disagreement. Some people are saying higher, some people are saying lower, some people are saying same. Next one. Every one of them was higher by a tiny bit. In fact, technically speaking, each one was 2 hertz higher. By the time we got, and you couldn't hear it. You couldn't hear any difference. Some of you imagined it's higher. Some of you imagined it's lower. You weren't sure. It was never lower. It was never the same. Each one was higher by a tiny bit. But by the time we got to the end, it had changed dramatically, hadn't it? We've got to keep focused on the original sound, on the original. We've got to focus on Christ. We can't be looking at everyone else. Because even a tiny change can result in a huge change at the end. The word disciple, you can't see it very well. The word disciple for my Greek students is in Greek mathetes. It occurs 266 times in the New Testament. Actually, that includes mathe, what is it? It includes, now I've got to look it up, Matthew chapter 28. Flipping over my Greek Bible. Mathetuo is the verb form of that, occurring here in Matthew 28. It also includes the feminine form, mathetria, the feminine form occurring one time. But when you count up all of those, 266 times in the New Testament, interestingly, it's only in the Gospels and in Acts. 236 of those times is in the Gospels. 11 times, it's John the Baptist's disciples. 3 times, it's the Pharisees' disciples. And once, the Pharisee says, "We're disciples of Moses." Not this crazy Jesus person was the idea there. Twice, it's a general case, meaning anybody's disciples, a disciple. Matthew 10, 24 and 25 says this, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and a slave like his master." So we can see most often in the Gospels, the vast majority of times in the Gospels, when it's talking about disciples, it's talking about disciples of who? Disciples of Jesus. Jesus' disciples. The only exceptions are the general case, John's disciples, and the Pharisees' disciples. So whenever you see the word disciple, and that gives us a hint as to what is happening in the Great Commission. Are we supposed to make disciples of ourselves? No, never in the Gospels are we disciples of anyone other than Christ. In Acts, it almost always refers to Jesus' disciples. Except in chapter 20, verse 30, says, some people will arise, and draw away disciples after them. It's very interesting that I left out something. Draw away disciples and distort the truth. The very clear implication here is people who draw disciples to themselves are doing what? Distorting the truth. Are we to make disciples of ourselves? Absolutely not. The other exception is in chapter 9, verse 25. In chapter 9, verse 25, very interestingly, it says his disciples, but his is talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul, his disciples. Did Paul have disciples? Very, very interesting. But there are two things that suggest, at least two things that suggest that it's not really talking about Paul making his own disciples. First of all, there is a textual variant here. A textual variant meaning to say some of the Greek manuscripts have a different reading there. They don't say his disciples. It just says the disciples. The disciples took him. So we can see that the scribes in history were very uncomfortable with this idea that Paul would have had his own disciples. And they changed it. They took out that his and made it into him instead, and the object of the verb take. So we have these scribes who are uncomfortable with that. And we have also, in the Middle Ages, the Venerable Bede. He also was very uncomfortable with this idea of Paul making his own disciples. He said, this is referring to Christ's disciples. For we do not read of Paul as having yet made disciples, but only of having confounded the Jews who were living in Damascus. So what Bede is saying is that even in this verse, it's talking about disciples of Christ, not Paul's disciples. And he says we know this because Paul had just been converted in this chapter. He just became a Christian, and he was talking to the Jews, and they were confounded. They weren't yet themselves disciples. So whose disciples is it? Not Paul, because he hadn't made any disciples of anybody, whether himself or Jesus. He's just a brand new believer. He was only arguing with the Jews about this. So we can see even this one exception, Paul making his own disciples. No, probably not. In fact, NIV does something very interesting here. They don't use the word disciple in that verse. They say his followers. Now, followers, we have a very different connotation about followers as disciples. Yes, followers, maybe Paul had followers, but they were followers of him because he was follower of Christ. We also see in Acts 15, very, very interesting. Remember what's happening in Acts chapter 15. In Acts 15, we have what's sometimes called the Jerusalem Council. Remember that there had been big conflict in the church in Antioch where they were disputing about circumcision. And the church sent two people, including Paul, down to Jerusalem to talk this all over with the whole body of Christ, what should they do about circumcision? And in the course of the debates, Peter stands up. And Peter says this in verse 10, quoting from the NASB. "Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?" This is Peter. If anybody in the whole of Christendom ever should have his own disciples, shouldn't it be Peter? If Jesus said, "Make disciples of yourself," Peter would have heard that. Peter would have made disciples, yeah? But Peter doesn't say, "Why are we doing this to our disciples?" Our disciples? No. He said, "Why are we doing this to the disciples?" The disciples, meaning the only disciples we know, the disciples of Jesus. Even Paul, we have very famous examples here. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, "Follow my example." But he quickly adds, "As I follow the example of Christ." So Paul is saying, you can look at me, but make sure when you do that you also evaluate, am I following Christ? Don't follow me if I'm not following Christ. So all of the time, our example, our one example, is Christ. Or again, in Philippians 3:17, join together in following my example. There he has it, brothers and sisters. Just as you have us as a model. So he's not drawing attention only to himself here, but to himself and all of his companions. You have us as a model. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So he's not drawing attention exclusively to himself, but to all those who would follow Christ. So we have this firm evidence in the New Testament that we are to be disciples only of Christ. How about some people say, as Nazarenes, as Free Methodists, as Wesleyans, we're disciples of Wesley. Can it be? Well, what did Wesley say? Wesley set up circuits. You remember the old circuits? Do you remember those things? This is where preachers didn't stay their whole time in one church, but they would ride a circuit. So one Sunday they would preach in this church, the next Sunday in that church, the next Sunday in that church, the next Sunday in that church, and so forth. They had even what they called a six-week circuit. A six-week circuit is one that it took 6 weeks to complete. If I remember my source on that, it was about 24 or 25 churches. So in 6 weeks, you would have been able to preach one time in every church on that. Early on in 1746, preachers were assigned for 1 month only in a circuit. After that, was moved on to another circuit. That seemed to be a little bit too extreme, and so the following year, they went to 2 month circuits. So a preacher would circulate for 2 months, meaning to say he only preached about one time in each church. Then a year later, it went up to 3 months in their assignment to a circuit before they were transferred. And then later on, 6 months, later on, 1 year. And in 1784, the minutes of the conventions showed that they had fixed the circuit at 2 years. So you can see that Wesley was really concerned here about people attaching to one individual, as if that person could give everything that we need to have in order to be true disciples. He himself said this, "Were I myself to preach one whole year in one place, I should preach both myself and most of my congregation asleep." So he's saying, don't look at me only. Yeah, Wesley had a lot of good insight to share with us. But he wasn't willing that people should listen even for a whole year, to himself. I have an example. These remind me of some logs that I remember so vividly from my childhood. When I was a very, what's the right word, inquisitive or curious, inquisitive kind of child. And I remember one day, my father and I went, maybe not all of you know that I was a missionary kid, and I grew up in those parts of my life in Africa, in Burundi. You know where Burundi is? Oh, Burundi is right in the center, right at the top end of Lake Tanganyika, which is the longest lake in the world. At the north end of that is where I lived for 7 years as a child. And one day, I don't remember where in that 7 years it was, but my father and I, we went, took a drive in the car, and we went, maybe an hour's drive away, something like that, to a place where they were building a church building. And they had made mud bricks, and they had built those mud bricks into a structure, and they were coming to the place where they wanted to put on the roof. And the foreman was there, and he had set up, they were building it out of poles like these ones. Although in my memory, they look a little bit more like those ones. They'd cut them down in the trees just around, and they had cut these poles, and they were going to make them into the trusses. The trusses that look something like this one. Although this is big fat logs. Those were just little thin logs and much bigger. But what they had done is they had taken those logs and they'd formed up a sample truss and they had staked it into the ground. It was laying on the ground something like this one. And then what they were doing is they were taking the new logs and they were placing them down on top of this pattern. Not this very one, but one like this, yeah? And they were forming up the new truss based on the pattern. So I was watching all of this happen. Now they were taking up the truss and placing it there. And I said, wouldn't it be better not to waste the truss that they built and put on the ground? Why not use that and then make a new truss? And then this one that they had just built would be the pattern. So my idea was something like this. There's the truss on the ground. And then they made a new truss by placing it right on top of that. And then I thought, well, here's the structure. Here's the brick building. Why not take that first one and put it up on top of the structure? Before then you build the second truss, or sorry, the third truss built on the second one. And then you can put the second one up. And then you can build the last truss. And then, where's my last truss? There's my last truss. And then put the third truss up. And then finally put the last truss up. Wouldn't it be more efficient instead of always going back to that first perfect pattern? Well, I actually expressed that to the foreman. I said, why don't you do it like that? And he said, oh, that would be very bad, because it would end up looking more like this. There's the first one. The second one looks pretty good, doesn't it? Looks pretty good, but if you look very closely, you can see it's a tiny bit distorted. And then if I took away the first one, I only have that second one that's a tiny bit distorted to use. So Here's my new one. It looks pretty good, doesn't it? Looks almost just like the second one. But it's also a tiny bit distorted. If I get rid of that one, put it up there, oh, doesn't look so good anymore, huh? And now I build my last one off of the third one, put my third one up, put my fourth one up, and at the end, what happens? My roof is no good. So we have to all the time go back to the first original pattern. My friends, we're not to make disciples of me. Let's point only to the perfect example, only to Christ. If each disciple were to pattern, were the pattern for the next generation, generation after generation after generation, our discipleship would incrementally deteriorate. Christ is our first and only completely true pattern. Let's put our focus on Him. Let's point people to Him. As John the Baptist said, He must, what? He must increase. I must decrease. But there's one other aspect here that I want to draw your attention to. We have to daily, constantly, always attend to our first example, to Christ. Remember those tones I gave you? Those tones? You couldn't hear the difference. First tone, second tone, you said, same. Second tone, third tone, same. Third tone, fourth tone, same. You couldn't hear it. Let's review to those tones again. Think about it. There's the first tone. Can you hear that sound? That, we call it a beat note. That beat note comes when I play the two sounds together. When I play the first sound, you can hear it clearly. When I play the second sound, it sounds good. Sounds true. Sounds no change. It's changed only by 2 hertz. You can't distinguish it. But when I play them together, you can clearly see, wait, something's not right. So what do we have to do? We have to live in Christ. We have to conform to Christ. When we are immersed in Christ, not just 10 years ago when we were saved, not just last year when we were sanctified, but today and every day, immersed in Christ. So when we hear that other tone, something's not quite right. You can hear it. Here's the first tone, second tone, same, yeah? Maybe a little bit different, not quite sure. But now, the two tones together. Something's not right. You can tell. When you know Christ's tone, when you're not just know it, but when you're hearing it, you can distinguish. One last example of that. That's the original, that's the true pattern. This one maybe you can hear. This one's 6 hertz difference. But when you hear them together, wow, you know it's not right. The farther you are away, the quicker the beat notes are. My friends, let's focus on Christ. Let's hear Christ. In response, let's sing again, and may I invite, as we pray, the worship team to sing the song. Lord, we want to be identical to you in every way possible. We want to be your disciples because you are our true pattern. Lord, empower us more and more to be your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.